God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. In just a moment, we're going straight to Hebrews chapter 10 in just a moment with Dr. Don Wilton, but we want you to know that we're here for you. We're connecting already keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org and this phone number, 866-899-WORD. And so many folks have been taking us up on the offer to say, hey, let us put something encouraging in your email box every day. You can sign up right now by texting the word DAILY to 30500 for a daily encouraging word email from Dr. Don Wilton. That's DAILY. That's the word you text in, DAILY, to 30500. Send us that text. We'll send you back a quick link, and you'll be signed up to receive that tomorrow morning. Now, let's dive into God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilton.
Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 10. And so I simply reiterate to you that our subject concerns the matter of apostasy. Now, boys and girls, I know that that's a very big word. And I know that it's a word that we don't hear used very often. But apostasy just simply refers to people who say no to Jesus Christ, but with a little bit of a difference, which actually is a major difference, because these people that are apostate are people who have heard all about the Lord Jesus. They know that Jesus died on the cross for them. Many of them have grown up in churches just like this. And yet, having heard the truth and having known the truth, they turn their backs on the grace of God. And boys and girls, someone who is guilty of apostasy is called an apostate. So you're going to hear me talk about apostates a lot. I know that's a big word to remember, but an apostate is someone who has said no to Jesus Christ, even though they know and believe in their heads, they accept the fact that Jesus died on the cross for them. Let's read about it together in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to begin at verse 26. The Bible says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but rather only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. For it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so I want you to remember. Now, friends, in verse 32, there is a switch of gears. We've just had a powerful admonishment, a powerful warning. This is one of the most stark warnings in all of Scripture. And then right here in the latter verses of chapter 10, God by His Spirit switches gears. And He speaks directly to Christian people. People who are indeed saved people, who are born again. And what He does is He commends them, but in the context of commending them, of telling them, well done, actually what the Lord Jesus gives to us at this point is a very simple understanding of someone who in fact is a believer and who is not an apostate, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. So this is what he says. He said, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, and I'm going to say something about that in a moment, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. Yet you sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possession. So do not throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. Rather, we are among those who have believed and are being saved. What is apostasy? Apostasy is the sin of rejecting the gospel. For what is rejecting the gospel? It's saying no to the grace of God. It's saying no to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sin of apostasy is saying no to forgiveness of sin, saying, I don't want to be forgiven, saying no to reconciliation with the Father. The apostate says, no, I don't want heaven. I don't want eternal life. But friend, there's something very interesting that God tells us here. God is telling us that such people make a deliberate and willful decision to reject Jesus Christ and His grace. Now, this is an interesting dilemma here, because what the sovereign God is telling us at this point is that it is possible for someone to hear God and to believe God and yet to say no to God. It is possible for somebody to be drawn by the Spirit of God and yet to reject the Spirit of God. We're going to discover that in just a moment, because what God says, He invokes not only God the Father, but God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And He tells us that such people have, in fact, turned down the Holy Spirit. They turned down the Godhead, the Father, who is the Son, who is the Spirit. It is a deliberate and willful act. It's not done in ignorance. It is the willful rejection of the truth of God's Word. Here was my prevailing illustration, briefly. Is it possible for somebody to grow up in a wonderful home, to have parents who provide them with everything, who give to them the very best that life has to offer, to grow up in a church like this and so many others here in our region that glorified Jesus Christ, grow up in a youth group, be in a children's ministry, start out in our preschool with Lee Foster and a wonderful team in our preschool, to go on choir tour, to sing in the choirs, to be actively engaged. Is it possible that somebody could grow up under such circumstances, seeing it, hearing it, believing it, practicing it, receiving it, and yet all of a sudden to turn their backs and walk away, to become the very opposite? I've met some people who have grown up on the inside just like that, have been blessed beyond reason. Today you can go and find them. They use four-letter words ad infinitum, drinking themselves into the ground, frequenting unhealthy and unholy places, have had multiple affairs, engaged in immoral acts, are unethical in their behavior. And you go and look at their parents and you look where they came from and you say, how do you match these two things together? It just doesn't seem to make sense. Surely such a person would know better. Well, let's try and understand this. First of all, the character of apostasy. What does an apostate look like? Well, every apostate is an unbeliever. Every apostate is an unbeliever. Once again, this week I've had a number of people who have asked me again, Pastor, what is the difference between an apostate and a backslider? See, backsliding is very much a part of what God teaches us in His Word, like the prodigal son. How do you distinguish? Well, every apostate is an unbeliever. They have not accepted Jesus Christ into their heart, and every apostate has absolutely no concern regarding sin. A backslider, Every backslider is a believer. And as such, every backslider is deeply concerned about their sin. Now, folks, I have backslidden in my Christian life. I'm going to be so forward and abrupt this morning, take license. I'm going to submit to you that I'm not sure if I know any Christian who hasn't backslidden at some time or another. But I can tell you one thing that I know beyond any doubt in my own heart and life, as imperfect as I am. When I do slip away from God, when I turn my back on Him, when I say things that are not pleasing to Him, when I live a life that is not pleasing to the Lord, even though I am engaging in sin, it troubles me. It bothers me. It bothers me to the point at which I come to my senses as the prodigal son did, and I look up from the midst of my pig pen and I see God my Father standing there with His arms open wide saying, "Come home, son, come home." That's a portrait of a backslider. Every backslider is a believer who is deeply concerned about his sin. Every apostate is an unbeliever who has no concern about his sin. Number two, every apostate has received knowledge. Now, I want you to just look at verse 26. Here God says to us by His Spirit, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. By the way, I've had some people, not recently, but I know there are some people who use this passage to prove that you can lose your salvation. Well, friends, evidently you haven't studied this correctly. The Bible teaches you cannot lose your salvation. There are many passages that support that. You cannot be born again into the kingdom of God. You cannot be in the palm of His hand. The Bible says no one will pluck you out of His hand. Once you're saved, you're always saved. The issue is not whether or not you can lose your salvation. The issue is whether or not you were saved to begin with.
That unique voice you've been listening to is the voice of Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word. And we'll be back with more of today's message in just a moment. I know that was number four. We'll pick up with number five in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you that we're here for you. 24 hours a day, we're connecting both on the phone line, 866-899-WORD, and on our website, theencouragingword.org. Each and every day, it's our privilege to be able to pray with and for friends that are just facing the day-to-day elements of life, the struggles of life. Just recently, I took a call praying with someone whose, well, its grandson has taken some choices away from God, steps away from God. He's saved. We believe that to be true, but he's missing the joy of living for God. Is there somebody in your life you'd like us to be praying with you and for you about? Just give us a call. 866-899-9673. Or we can do this together online as well. We can go keyboard to keyboard on our website, theencouragingword.org. Now let's dive back into today's message with a great teaching of Dr. Don Wilton and this message on apostasy.
Now what about this passage? Bible says every apostate has received knowledge. Well, the word for knowledge here is not the word gnosis, which you use commonly. The word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, is the word that we use for general spiritual knowledge. The word here, rather, is epignosis, which means complete, full understanding of that knowledge without the adoption of it. It means recognizing, knowing, understanding, but not accepting it for yourself. That is why when you get down later, and I don't have time to do this, but when you get down later, you get into the latter verses, yeah, verse 32, he says, remember those earlier days, after you have appropriated, after you have received the light. This here in verse 26, he's talking about apostates who have knowledge of and a full understanding of, but they have not accepted it as their own. Let me give you an example here, folks. It's a difficult thing to understand, but this is very important. I'm a married man. I have a beautiful wife. When I married my wife, I made a covenant commitment to her. All my love, all my affection, everything that I have goes to my wife. She's my best friend, and she is everything to me. I am a one woman man. I nearly said the other way around. That's all right, I'll get you back later. I am a one woman man. Now, here I am, I'm married, I'm in love, I have a beautiful wife. Does that mean to say that I do not acknowledge and recognize beauty in other women? Nope. I can watch Miss South Carolina pageant and I see all these young ladies up there and I say, you know, boy, that lady there, she is a beautiful young lady. I think she deserves the title, don't you? We are surrounded by beautiful people. I can recognize beauty. I can talk about it. I can acknowledge it. But what's the difference? I do not adopt that beauty for myself. I do not appropriate that beauty myself. I don't go out there and flirt with that woman or start an affair with that woman or run around with her or talk to her like she's my girlfriend or I'm trying to get a message through to her or even become flirtatious with my eyes. Why do I do that? Because I have a covenant commitment. I can recognize it. I can know that it's there and there's nothing wrong with that and I can celebrate beauty, but I know exactly where all my love and all my attention and all my affection and everything about me goes. It goes to that lady who is my wife. Now, in the opposite direction, this is what God is talking about Himself. He is trying to tell us that His church is filled with people who can see Him. They know who He is. They recognize who He is. They accept who He is. They acknowledge who He is. You were to go to them and say to them, who is Jesus? They'd say, He's the one who died for me. But they will not adopt Him as their own. That's an apostate. So an apostate is not only an unbeliever, but he is someone who has received knowledge. Number three, every apostate comes from within. That's very clear here in this passage. Every apostate, you're not talking about some people out there in some strange faraway land who have never heard the gospel or who have grown up in untoward circumstances, folk. This was God writing to these people who had come into a relationship where the gospel was being made manifest. This is a message to the church of Jesus Christ. This is the heart cry of evangelism. This is the heart cry of John Knox, who stood before a lost Scotland and said, give me Scotland or I die. This is the Lord Jesus Christ looking down upon His church. Is it possible? Is it conceivably possible that there could be someone worshiping with us today who has the right clothes on, has a Bible in their hand, is singing the hymns, who has grown up on the inside of the church, but is about to turn their back and say, I know it, I see it, I believe it, but I'm out of here. Nicodemus was the prime example of that. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ in John's gospel. Nicodemus did. Nicodemus had all the trappings. He had all the knowledge. If you went to Nicodemus, Nicodemus would have said, I believe. G. Campbell Morgan wrote a book entitled Believing Men, But an Unbelieving God. Jesus Christ would not commit Himself to them because He knew what was in the heart of man. God doesn't play games. God is not interested in the masquerade of the modern church. God is not interested in our membership or our ability to preach the Word of God. What God says is every apostate comes from within the church. From within the church. Number four, every apostate makes a deliberate choice. We've covered that base. Number five, every apostate refuses to acknowledge his own sin. I'll guarantee you there's at least one person here today who has a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife or a friend or a neighbor. And when you think about that person, you know there was a time. You saw them even walk down an aisle. You were there when they got baptized, perhaps. You remember listening to them sing. Folks, I've met people all over the world that at one time they seemingly looked like they were living for the Lord, but today you cannot smell them for dust. And if you were to go to them and say to them, what happened? They'd say, I couldn't care less anymore. Every apostate refuses to acknowledge his own sin. Now, I'm not talking about matters pertaining to the conscience. Most people have got a conscience, folks. You go to a man who's committing adultery, and he's an unbeliever or he's an apostate, and you go to him and say to him, what are you doing? Most people, good living people, would say, well, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm going to carry on doing it anyway. Well, what are they just telling you? They're telling you that their conscience is in operation, but they have no recognition of the righteousness and the holiness of God. And anybody who does not recognize the righteousness and the holiness of God has never come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, that's part of the character of apostasy. What is the cause of apostasy? What causes this to happen? What do you suppose, my beloved friend, causes a person to see and to hear the gospel and then to reject it in full knowledge? What happened? Well, there are many different causes. I'm going to share with you eight of them. Number one, tragic circumstances. Death, undue hardship, injury, unmet expectations. Folks, let me just ask you this, or let me make this statement if I may. Every apostate believes in prayer. It's like America today. You can go to the average football stadium and stand there, and it's pitiful what they're doing. I've had pro teams call me to come and pray in professional football and then send me a message to tell me, Reverend, you can come and pray, but do not mention the name of Jesus. Excuse me? Excuse me? How do you pray anything but in the name of Jesus? I can't go and pray. Don't waste your time. If you're about to invite me to come and pray and you don't want me to pray in Jesus' name, don't send me an invitation because I'm not coming. And I don't care if it means that I'll never get to see another game. I will not sacrifice my Savior on the mantelpiece of mediocrity and popularity. What is God saying? Well, there are tragic circumstances because you can go to people, and I've been around people, someone in their family gets sick, they've grown up in the church, they say, look, I believe in prayer, everybody comes and prays, but the person dies anyway. The apostate is the person that turns around and says, well, there you have it. If that's who God is and God does that to me, I don't want to have any part of him. That's an apostate.
What a powerful message from Dr. Wilton. Please don't go away. He's got a word for you in just a moment. But I want to remind you that as the Lord has stirred your heart in this Bible teaching, that perhaps there is a call to action. You know, when we gain insight from God's Word, when the Lord speaks to us through its Dr. Don Wilton, our pastor here, or through the proclaiming of His Word, or just in your heart, if you feel a nudge from God that there needs to be an adjustment, a course correction, then let's not let this moment pass. If you'd like to have someone talk with you or pray with you, we stand ready to connect right now, whether it's keyboard to keyboard on our website, theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org, or on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And as I mentioned, before we get away, we have some closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
Again, if the Lord has spoken to you through my pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, I pray you let us take the next steps with you. You are not built for a solo flight, my friend. God has built us for community, and we would love to be the first step of that community right now. Just a friend you can talk with, pray with at the other end of 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. In this day and age of most of us are texting and emailing and typing a lot more than talking, sometimes, especially in matters of the heart, it's really a blessing to have someone who is called apart. Each and every one of us that have the joy, I'm one of those that love to answer the phone and take prayer calls and take comment calls or take requests for information and materials. I love talking, obviously, I love talking on the phone to friends. Perhaps today is the day you would love to have someone that's ready to listen, not just talk, but to listen and pray with you. Again, it's one of our great joys. I pray you would jot the number down or store it in your cell. It's 866-899-9673. Not only will it always connect you with one of us happy to talk or listen or pray, but it'll also help you connect with great resources like this thing called Going After Jesus. Here's Cheryl with all the details.
Are you seeking or rejecting God? The proof of love is the investment of time. You already know God loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven and free. But have you ever wondered how to love Him in return? The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. How do you do that? How do you practically live out that kind of love? This month, Dr. Don Wilton wants to help encourage and inspire you to pursue the God who is pursuing you in His message, Going After Jesus. Going After Jesus is available on CD or DVD for your gift of any amount today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that broadcasts the good news of Jesus Christ around the world.
Well, I do hope you'll call for your copy of Going After Jesus. The number again is 866-899-9673, or you can meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now, we are going to conclude this three-part series tomorrow with Dr. Wilton. I pray you'll be with us. Between now and then, let's stay connected online at theencouragingword.org.
Preacher Wilton, I just wanted you to know how my family life has changed. I gave my heart to God listening to you on the radio. Now my wife has a new husband, and my kids have a new dad. And I thank God for your ministry.